What damage is being done due to the current administration's policies? I'll talk about that next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times best-selling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrew speaking to you, our incredible national audience, from our three-dimensional wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people and organizations that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. Well, folks, I think life is going to change from the way that we've known it. And I'm actually not a pessimist, but I am a realist. And so many times people ask me my viewpoint or my take on what's going on right now with some of the policies that are being passed by the current administration. So this is not a political agenda here, but there are certain things that I see happen no matter who is in office, Republican or Democrat. And I've been around the block, so to speak. I began as a financial strategist and majored in economics in college, clear back in the early 1970s. And I started in 1974. And I've seen many, many presidents, of course, come and go. And they all have their different approaches to fiscal and monetary policy. So let me give you my take. Going clear back to when Gutenberg invented the printing press, what happened in the world, and especially in England and Europe and so forth? Well, up until that point, a lot of people only could rely on the word from the Bible, from people who could afford to have a Bible. And so they, of course, just accepted what was told or preached at their church or congregation. And so when the printing press allowed everybody to be able to have a Bible, a lot of citizens would go, well, wait a minute, where's this 120 holy days in the Bible? We don't see that. We see only the Sabbath day, only 52. And this is actually what precipitated the separation of church and state. And a lot of business owners and so forth says, well, we're just going to do what the Bible says and so forth. Now, ever since then, we've had that separation. But I think really one of the problems with government is that we ought to have separation of state and the economy. And yet I have seen numerous administrations try to manipulate the economy. And for whatever reasons they do, and I have my suspicions, this is sometimes where we see damage that is done. So I'm just going to shoot straight with you. I think under the current administration and printing of money and these stimulus packages and infrastructure bills and the government spending about 3.5 times what they bring in revenue, and they're infusing the economy with tons of printed currency. Well, what does that do? Okay. The American monetary system, I think, is going to be irreversibly changed. And maybe this administration doesn't care. I've heard that Biden wants to posture America to maybe even change our current monetary system by the year 2025, by the end of his administration or whatever. Now, that doesn't mean dollars will become totally worthless, because whatever currency, whether it's crypto or digital currency, it should be able to maintain value based upon supply and demand and what people consider it to be worth. But you've seen sort of the volatility in cryptocurrency. Okay. And so whatever's going on, let me just say this. When government gets involved in economics, I get nervous because most politicians do not understand economics, and they've never run a business before, most of them. And so when they want to control buying and selling, supply and demand, price and the value, perceived value that people will pay for things. When government strives to control that, I think we're headed in the wrong direction. There's a lot of special interest groups, and they love to budget and have money that will be allocated to them. Why would we be cutting off oil pipelines when we were energy independent, and now we're creating dependence on foreign oil? There's something more to it, is what I'm saying. So, back when President Obama came in, based upon his campaign, I predicted the damage that would be done based upon his agenda would be that in 8 years, he wanted to change the ratio of taxpayers in America from being about 55% compared to about 45% of Americans were tax eaters, meaning they actually received more than they contributed to the system. He wanted to flip that. Now, why? And he actually did. By the end of his 8 years, it had flipped, and there were basically 55% tax eaters compared to 45% taxpayers. Because if you're benefiting and you're receiving a lot of benefits and free stuff, you will continue to vote for those people who are giving you that lifestyle. And so this is what I see as a hidden agenda. And so what I think the damage that is being done, because the government's been printing at least $100 billion a month, and they were supposed to stop in April of this year, and they decided not to. Why were they doing this? Because this is how they were covering all of the unemployment benefits and all of the things that happened because of COVID-19. But they said, golly, look at this. Where's the money going to come from? And they don't want to really say that they're printing money. But when they say this infrastructure bill isn't going to cost us anything, the reason why they say that is because they're just going to print the money to cover it. But when you infuse the American economy with $1 trillion of new printed currency within a 10-month time frame, because they were going to stop printing money in June and they kept doing it, and they keep doing it. And so that is what causes the devaluation of the dollar. The purchasing power of the dollar goes down, okay? And we end up with inflation because we have all this money. And a lot of people don't understand this basic economics. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people pulling the strings, and we don't know who it is, except that the hidden agenda here is to get a lot of their initiatives passed while they have control so that they'll worry about paying for it later. And of course, that's one of their philosophies is let's just worry about the future paying for what we need to do today. So I don't want to get too deep into this, except that I think we're going to see continued disunity. We have serious political division, and I don't think it's going to end, even though they want to have unity. They have their definition of unity, and they blame it on us if we are upset about their agenda and spending and so forth, when we know that printing money causes inflation. Now, folks, this is what I want you to take from this. You need to protect yourself from what's coming and the damage that's going to be done. I think it's going to get even wider, the ratio of taxpayers versus the tax eaters. And so if you want to protect yourself, you need to make sure that you have a strategy where your income is 40, 50, 60% tax-free, and that's why we teach these educational sessions on how to do that. How to link your returns on your hard-earned money and your savings to inflation. And you wouldn't believe how many financial advisors don't know how to do that. You need to link your returns to the things that inflate. I don't like inflation any more than anybody does. But back during the Carter years, when inflation hit double digits, and inflation was at 10, I was earning 15.5%. because I link my returns to the things that inflate. But the third thing is we are going to have serious market volatility, and you need to understand that and reposition your serious cash, especially as you begin to approach retirement, because you cannot get predictable income streams when you have your money in a volatile market. So you need to use a strategy called indexing, where you get to benefit when the market is up, but not lose when the market goes down.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
Who stands to benefit most from a manufactured energy crisis? This is Doug Andrew. Welcome back to Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. If you're just joining us, in the previous segment, I was talking about some of the damage that I think will be done due to some of the current policies being passed by the current administration. And frankly, damage is done many times, whether it's Republicans in control or Democrats, because we have a lot of politicians who try to control the economy. We should have separation of state from the economy, but no, they want to control through fiscal and monetary policy, buying and selling, supply and demand, and so forth. And I think many times people do not understand the hidden agenda. So people sometimes ask me, Doug, what do you think is really behind President Biden stopping the U.S. oil pipelines? I mean, he's done one. We lost a lot of jobs and so forth. He's talking about another. And golly, what's going on? We had energy independence with Trump. And whether you liked Trump or not is not the issue here. We were actually energy independent because years ago, I remember going to a special meeting and they indicated that we had enough oil reserves in America with current oil wells for a 204-year supply of petroleum based upon the current consumption rate. And that didn't even include some of the other areas where we know we can drill and get oil. So if that's true, what is really behind this agenda? Well, you know, you have short-term things, maybe satisfying special interest groups or whatever, because I think there's a lot of hidden agendas where people benefit when we start relying on OPEC again, and it causes the price of oil to go up, up, up. And this is why we are seeing it at the gas pump and what have you. But then out of the other side of their mouth, they're saying we've actually got to get rid of fossil fuels. Now, yeah, we have to be responsible and accountable with pollution and so forth. But I remember reading a study by Matt Riddle where he actually proved that burning fossil fuels, the carbon particulates and so forth, they actually nourish the plants and vegetation. And he showed that the planet was actually greener as a direct result of burning fossil fuels. And people go, what? As we know, you know, the earth sort of recycles. I think our creator created the earth. So we should be respecting it. But this is what causes vegetation to grow better. And of course, vegetation, when it goes down, it eventually comes into petroleum and so forth. So when I hear things like this, I'm thinking, okay, we have an abundance of energy. Now, the sun bathes us every day with 10,000 times more energy than we consume, but we haven't figured out how to harness that efficiently or cost-effectively yet, in my opinion. Same thing with wind. But I've been in a lab where a few years ago I saw a postage stamp-sized wafer that they had figured out how to line up electrons in atoms where we have inherent energy in sort of negative to positive, like batteries in a flashlight, to create milliamps that would probably power hearing aids or a pacemaker forever, okay? It's like a miniature generator instead of a battery. And they predicted in the future that we would be able to power a cell phone with a quarter-sized unit where you just turn off your cell phone every day for about 17 seconds and it's ready to go again as the electrons realign themselves. I don't know, but it was fascinating. We may be able to drive an electric car 300 miles, stop for 17 minutes at an In-N-Out Burger, and get ready to go another 300 miles by turning the car off and letting the electrons realign themselves. The point is this. I believe our Creator is in charge and that we have an abundance of energy, but we fight wars over where the holes in the ground are punctured through. And Buckminster Fuller, who was an abundant-minded scientist, he said, you know what? It used to be that petroleum was just something that got camel's hoofs filthy dirty. It was a nuisance until somebody figured out how to make that, refine it, and create combustible engines and so forth. Well, that creates pollutions and so forth, but there's other agendas out there in controlling the supply and demand of energy. And so even if we did have major breakthroughs, I'm concerned that because of the money and the income and the tax revenue that comes from our power grids and utilities and controlling what people have and consume, that there are hidden agendas out there. Okay? And so my concern is this. When we had Jimmy Carter in, and I've been around the block a long time. I'm in my 70th year. And we had double-digit inflation, and we had this energy crisis. I remember I had to install an extra 20-gallon tank on our Jeep Wagoneer when we took our family to Disneyland in California because I didn't want to have to stop and have to get gas in California. The gas lines were horrible and gas was through the roof. And so I needed to be able to drive from Utah to California and back again without having to fill up my vehicle. That was an energy crisis, and it was a similar thing to what's going on right now, but inflation was as high as 14%. We are now seeing that because the real rate of inflation, based upon the cost of goods and services, is around 14-15% or higher. When you hear the consumer price index is only, 4-6% inflation, that's because they changed the way they report inflation. Clear back in the 1980s, because of the Carter administration, the government did not want to have to pay Social Security recipients the actual cost of living increase, so they changed the way they reported inflation. And they did it from, instead of an apples-to-apples basket of goods to the same basket of goods comparison, they changed it to apples to oranges, and so, you know, they can compare filet mignon steak last year, the price of that, to hamburger this year if they want. So when you hear inflation being reported at 5 or 6%, you want to almost triple that. It's really more like 15%. And you can see this at the gas pump and so forth. So who does that hurt the most? It is the middle and low income people. Those are the ones that's hurting the most. That's why I call inflation the hidden tax, because it hurts the people who can afford it the least. It hurts them the most. And so, golly, I get frustrated when I see things happening and how it affects things. And income tax is going up, 401k changes, the inheritance tax, the corporate tax going up to 28% from 21%. And people say, well, that's only 7% more. No, it isn't. It's 33% more. This is all smoke and mirrors. Because if a corporation has been paying 21% in tax under Trump, every $1 million of profit, that's $210,000. Now under Biden's proposal, they pay 28% or $280,000 instead of $210,000. That's $70,000 more or 33% more than they used to pay. And sometimes these policies, people say, well, golly, the corporations can afford it. Well, no, they can't. Without doing what? Laying off people, changing to automation, and raising the prices of goods and services, which is inflation, which is a direct result of raising taxes and printing money. And so if this is making sense to you, this is why I'm very passionate about teaching people like you how to make yourself immune from taxes going up if you convert to tax-free strategies, not tax-deferred. How to link your returns to the things that inflate so that inflation, when we have it, doesn't hurt you, it helps you. And you make yourself immune from market volatility because the market is going to be topsy-turvy, I assure you.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.